I'm David James. Next on 2 Main Street, my conversation with Steve Bridges, the newly appointed president of the University of Southern Indiana. Bridges is certainly no stranger to the USI campus. He's a former student and has worked at the school since graduation, climbing the ladder to become the chief financial officer and now the school's fifth president. Steve Bridges has worked with all the previous presidents and shares the insights he's gained from them, starting with the visionary first school president, David Rice. So what's on the new president's wish list? We'll find out. 2 Main Street is next, presented by Jeffrey Berger Kimrin and the Berger Wealth Services team at Bayard Private Wealth Management. From the WNIN Public Media Center in downtown Evansville, I'm David James, and this is 2 Main Street. The University of Southern Indiana has a new president, number 5 in the school's history, and the first president to have graduated from USI. So you could say my guest, Steve Bridges, knows the ropes. He doesn't need a map to get around the campus, which is sprawling, 1,400 acres, I believe. In 1989, just 1 year after graduating with a BA degree in accounting, Bridges was on the USI payroll as a staff accountant. He's been there ever since, receiving his master's degree and climbing the administrative ladder to become the school's chief financial officer when former President Ron Rishon left to become president of California State University Fullerton. Steve Bridges became the interim president, and now it's official, he's the new boss. President Bridges is also a tri-state guy, a Henderson, Kentucky native who still lives in Henderson, is that right? Correct. And has been driving across the Twin Bridges to get to class and work since the 1980s. Steve Bridges, welcome to 2 Main Street.
Thank you, David. I appreciate it. It's an honor to be here with you.
Well, thank you. Let's start with traffic. Any bridge adventures to share?
Oh, wow. You know, the bridge is good until it's not good.
Right.
And in general, as far as the snow goes, it's, I think maybe most of the time is a little bit over, it's a bigger concern than it is. Mm-hmm. But there have been a couple times that I have crossed after a night class when I was working on my master's that I wasn't far from a semi going across the bridge on the ice. And so those were a little nerve-wracking. Obviously, when they make three lanes out of it, it's a little tight, and that's but yeah, it's gridlock when there's a problem. I've driven through Shawneetown and through Rio to get home
past. Oh, my gosh. So, that's a detour.
It is, but sometimes I would rather drive than sit, and luckily I know both ways. So it's been an adventure, a lot of construction, from a casino being built to the Lloyd being worked on probably 3 to 4 times. So travel's always an adventure.
Okay. Now, you were the interim president for about 10 months, and there was a national search to replace the former president, Ron Rishon. A lot of possible candidates, I assume. Now, tell me about that Board of Trustees meeting in April when it was announced you finally got the job. I understand your family was there for the event.
They were, yeah. So I'd have to tell you, David, it's USI has always been about family for me. It was a family atmosphere from Dr. Rice, who I started with on. And so it only seemed appropriate that day. You know, I'd known that I was going to be the one that they announced and that they would be voting on at the board meeting. So my family, they're there to support me. I have two children that graduated from USI. My daughter, she's principal at Holy Name now, and my other daughter who graduated from there works at German American, and it's just been a family affair. My son went to another institution, but he worked there in the summer when we were rehabbing the housing units and went to basketball camps, as did my daughter. So we've grown up on that campus. So to have my family there and combine that event with my work family, it seemed to be most appropriate that day.
Now, before we talk about USI's growth and future, let's go back to the past, Steve, to learn more about growing up in Henderson. Tell me about your parents.
Sure. So my mom was one of 11, hailed from Southern Illinois, El Dorado to be specific. And my dad was one of 9 and originally was born in Cadiz, Kentucky, and moved to Henderson with his family. They were from a farming side. And it's actually always sort of surreal to me when I get down to this area and I look across Dress Regional Plaza because that peninsula was part of where we farmed. And so I picked up driftwood and watched that. This last flooding was very interesting for me. So every time I'm there, I'm thinking of my parents. But both big families, and I'm an only child. So they got married late in life, lots of aunts and uncles. And so I'm a real tri-state guy from Kentucky to Southern Illinois to the West Side, which is a home for me as well these days and have been.
So where'd you go to high school?
Henderson County High School. I graduated in 1984.
You were a colonel?
I was a colonel.
Okay.
Worked at Sureway Food Store through my college career. I turned 16 and started, I guess that was in August, and it was in August, and then September I started working at the grocery store. And it's the only other job I've had other than USI.
Really?
And so I have many positions at USI, but I'm sort of a tradition person, and it's important.
So what was, why did you decide to go to USI?
So I sent my test scores to USI, to Vanderbilt, and to the University of Kentucky. And those were all places I was considering kind of a wide array of choices. But for me, USI was a quality education. It offered what I wanted. I was able to stay home, work, and it was the best decision for me. In a rare occasion, I left with zero debt. I was able to work my way through school and pay for it. So it was the right decision for me, obviously. And yeah.
Were you a commuter?
I was.
Mm-hmm.
And I had an interview with our placement director, if I may, during my senior year, and she had taught a career planning course. And so we did a mock interview. And at that point, we watched it on VCR tapes. And I had to go back in and go through the process with her of watching myself, which was painful. And she said, you know, your answers really resonate with what we do here at the university. And we're going to have a position open. And I said, really? And I was looking, coming from a farming family, benefits, stability, that was really important to me. I was looking for a place that might not be here for a while and maybe move elsewhere. And so I was looking at government all along. And I hadn't opened my eyes to the university until that interview. And so I turned a job down waiting for that interview. And that's the rest is a bit history. I did find out later her name changed, and she was Marilyn Schmidt after her name changed, and she was married to Richard Schmidt, who was our assistant vice president for finance and administration, business affairs. Mm-hmm. So I didn't know when I was talking to her that I was talking to a direct pipeline of one of the key people in our finance area. So.
Always good with numbers when you were in high school?
Yeah, yeah, numbers were good. Also, you know, I enjoyed English, and so writing was important. And that actually paid off in writing about financial data. You know, we had to create different documents and have a management discussion and analysis. So that combination of being able to write and also being able to deal with numbers were really important for me.
What were some of your favorite classes at USI as a student?
So I enjoyed a number of my classes, and probably appreciate some of my classes now more than I did then, some of the extra classes. So I took a couple of political science courses, and that's been helpful when I'm at the State House, just understanding things and didn't expect to see that coming. I enjoyed a couple of human resource classes that I had, collective bargaining and wage and salary administration. Didn't know I'd be working with human resources.
Mm-hmm.
And accounting, of course, those were classes. And in particular, advanced accounting. There were two chapters on not-for-profit and governmental accounting. And I would be on, if I were being honest, I'd say that changed my life because those were chapters that resonated with me, maybe not so much with the others in my class, but it just made sense to me. General funds, designated funds, little buckets of money that work together. And so that was a really important chapter. And so between that and the collision of my interview and hearing that there was an opportunity at USI, it all really sort of fit together.
Mm-hmm. Now, of course, professors are very important. These courses would be pretty dull if you didn't have a decent professor.
Absolutely.
So any favorite professors?
Sure. Dan Wade was one of my favorites. He's since moved to Tennessee, and he actually sent me an email when he heard, and that was a real pleasure to hear from him. Amet Kajakula, another professor, was very important for me. Dane Partridge, he's passed away now, but he was super, super strong in my programs.
You're the first in your family to graduate from college, is that correct?
That's correct.
And you talk about a generational value. What's that?
Yeah, it's really important to me. So I have three children, all who have degrees. I have four grandchildren currently and a fifth on the way. And so what I've seen is sort of an exponential growth. You know, it's always important to talk about what we do in education and helping people to live wisely in their community and to be educated and participate in their community. But also, getting a job is important, you know, and you want your children to be able to be better than you were. And so having children, have two in banking and one who's in education as a principal at Holy Name School in Henderson, that's a proud moment for me. And so I went from being the first to creating three, and I'm hoping that my five also do that. And the value of education is still strong.
You told the student newspaper, The Shield, you have come full circle in your career. You started out as a staff accountant at USI, worked your way up, and now you're the president. Full circle?
I am. I have a picture of Dr. Rice on my desk handing me my diploma. So I had started working there. When I walked across the stage, I was an employee. But I look at that picture each day, and it sort of reminds me of what our purpose was when we were founded. For people like me who were first-generation students and the impact it had on me, and I know how important the founding individuals felt about that university. So it reminds me every day. And being able to work with all the presidents in our history and all of our CFOs, that's a real point of pride for me. And so it is a full circle moment and a proud moment for me on behalf of the 54,000 plus alumni who now know as well, we always knew how important a USI degree is. And I feel like being that full circle moment is living proof of that.
Let's learn more about the Bridges family. Your wife, Rosemary, how did you guys meet?
So I was working at Sureway and knew her brother first. And for some reason, he wanted to introduce me to her. I still wonder about that. But it was a great relationship. And she actually was dating a friend of mine at one time. And I sort of had a no dating friends, former girlfriends policy, because it seemed important at the time, right, when you're young and naive. But we went out on our first date, and yeah, that was an important date, and never looked back. And
did she work at Sureway also?
She worked at another Sureway at some point, but she graduated with a degree in medical lab technology from Henderson Community College, and at one time she was in charge of the bleed floor for the plasma center here in town, Highland Plasma Center. It's not Highland anymore, but down on off of Walnut. And other than a brief stint at Sureway, it was more just the connection with her brother and I. And we hit it off day one, and that's similar goals.
Yeah, you said, how many children, grandchildren again?
So I have three children. Mm-hmm. My son, who works at Field & Main Bank. My daughter, Emma, again, the principal at Holy Name. And my other daughter, Abby, who is at German American. Mm-hmm. And then I have four grandchildren, Ella, Hayden, Jack, and Maggie's the new baby. And that's all four of those are with my son, Corey, which is amazing at this time to have a large family. And then my daughter Abby and her husband Jake, they're expecting their first child.
This is the day after Easter. We're recording this. A big Easter gathering?
Yes, ironically. So, you know, being from a big family on my mom and dad's side, I had lots of aunts and uncles. But over the course of time, unfortunately, not as many nieces and nephews there. And so that family has sort of shrunk. But at my house this past Sunday, we hosted 41 people, and that's about a fourth of Rosemary's family, over 129 plus, depending on how you define it.
Was it a pitch-in?
They did bring a few things, but for the most part, we cooked. And
what'd you have?
So, all right, that's a great question. So I'm a traditionalist in a lot of ways. So Peak Brothers Ham in Waverly, Kentucky is really good. I think that's their.
Is it a country ham? Is it salty?
It's just a smoked ham.
Oh, okay.
And it's quite good. And then on the other side of things, marinated turkey from Odin, Indiana, the meat locker. If you've not been there, that's fantastic. And I know that folks I work with, we stop by there. I take a cooler sometimes when I'm in Indy, and we go by.
What's
and get
it marinated
some.
In?
I have no idea, but it can't. It cannot be legal. It is.
Sounds good.
It is good, and so we had nieces and nephews from southern part of Kentucky to around that are they now know it, and so those were that was kind of the core of it, and then lots of great sides.
Mm-hmm. That almost sounds like maybe an Amish thing.
It is. It is the Amish run the Odin Meat Locker, and prices are good, and the turkey is legendary.
Oh, I bet. My guest is Steve Bridges, who was recently appointed the fifth president to lead the University of Southern Indiana. Now, still to come, helping guide the school through the COVID crisis, becoming a Division I school, and future plans for USI. I'm David James. This is 2 Main Street. We'll be right back. Welcome back to 2 Main Street. I'm David James. My guest is the new president of the University of Southern Indiana, Steve Bridges. I understand, we talked about this earlier, you have a photo on your desk of the first president of USI, Dr. David Rice, handing you that diploma, part of that full circle experience. Tell me about the David Rice legacy. Of course, he's the founder of the old Centennial School, becoming ISUE and then USI. David Rice. Tell me about David Rice.
You know, David Rice was a builder of communities. He brought people together. He had a vision for what we needed with public higher education. And he was driven to make that happen. And as I look back on that and I think about him, I mean, how many lives did he touch with what he did? And his wife, Betty, I would not want to be remiss and leave Betty's name out. She is was fantastic. And she was right there with him the entire time. Mm-hmm. And I think that's so very important. You know, I used to hear some of the folks say he would come in and he would just be talking to people in the community and would have lots of ideas. And sometimes they would say, that's just not going to work, Dr. Rice. But he never stopped coming up with ideas. And I think that's what made us become a place that grew to be bigger than maybe he even envisioned, was his approach to connecting and thinking about how we could be better. And I'm really working to try that now because I grew up in that era.
He was a tough guy to say no to, wasn't he?
He was. And, you know, when you think about it and you know, we wanted to become independent and people weren't for that and he kept battling for that. Mm-hmm. And then he was surrounded by business leaders in this community who didn't take no for an answer. When we were told we couldn't have housing, our business leaders formed a corporation and built our housing units. Mm-hmm. And that's sort of been a theme for us as we've had to kind of battle. We've been a bit disruptive, you know, and it's just, he was the foundation for that and, mm-hmm. and all things strong, but what a gentle, kind and quiet man that didn't, he was really very powerful and influential, but you'd never know it from talking to him.
Well, just going back, the old Centennial School, starting in that old school building, and look at what the campus is like today. It's just amazing.
It is. And, you know, I attribute that to him, his ability to work with individuals, to get mm-hmm. support in what we were trying to do. Started the foundation. Is, you know, working with Frank McDonald Sr. I think they were the first gift that we had in the foundation. Mm-hmm. I look back and I think about how we do definitely stand on their shoulders.
And I think the community involvement, too. I think the Westside Nut Club donated some land for the campus.
Yes, and several individuals. There's a couple of season ticket holders for our basketball. Their father was involved in it. We're actually going to go and take a tour at some of what was their home place here soon. Mm-hmm. So, you know, there are people around the community that still have a lot of pride in that effort, and they were a part of building that university. I can always tell when someone sells a home, and sometimes we'll end up, if it makes sense for us to purchase that, and they'll tell us where the shutoffs are. They'll talk about how they play tennis. Mm-hmm. It's more than just selling a house. They want to be a part of us.
Okay, let's get the lay of the land at USI. 1,400 acres, was that right?
1,400 okay. acres.
How many students now?
Yeah, we're about 9,500 all in with our high school students, graduate, undergraduate, and about 7,200 if you just look at graduate and undergraduate students.
Staff,
we run about 1,600 now if you count all of our student employees as well. Not as many students as we used to have.
How many international students do you have?
We have somewhere around 80 international students, and we're represented by 88 counties in Indiana. We mm-hmm. We cover this entire state now.
Of course, there have been many challenges along the way, notably COVID-19. How did the pandemic affect campus life? You were there.
I was there. I did a lot of work from my living room. You know, it was tough. I think it showed our real values. You know, we worked hard to keep everyone employed, and we did that. And that goes back to the values of USI, taking care of family. Mm-hmm. So that was super important, but it also taught us some things. It taught us that we can do education online. It may not be the number one choice, and it depends on what market you're looking at. Mm-hmm. You know, undergraduate students still seem to value that relationship of being on campus, and we value them being there.
Sure.
But graduate students who are busy working, they love the ability to be able to learn online and to have a flexible schedule. So I think that really enhanced what we did, and I think it brought us together as a family more than expected. I clearly remember standing in my living room talking to President Rashawn, and I said, you know, I think we should do a six-month budget and see where we stand, and we can manage to continue to keep doing what we're doing without a problem. And he said, well, let's call the board chair right now. And so we got on the phone with a former graduate, Ken Sendowick, who was our board chair, and we talked it through, and we agreed to do that, and that was a recipe for success.
Is that unusual to have a six-month budget?
It is. It was normally a year, but we wanted to see where we were and see what was going on in the world, because it was really a unique time, something we had never encountered. But we knew we could continue on 6 months, no problem, longer really. But we wanted to at least have a point, a milestone to check and see where we were. And by that point, we knew more than we did. We were able to finish up the year with that, continuing that budget, the same amount we had had before, and took care of our employees.
Well, the uncertainty involved with that, too. You just didn't know where it was going there for a while. I mean, everything was just, you didn't know what was going to happen next.
No, it was, I remember driving home that night and seeing all the businesses closed. It was very eerie, and I was with President Rashawn when we met with all of the education leaders in town and made an announcement that we were shutting down, and I had known that was going to happen. So EVSC was there, Dr. David Smith, great friend of the university, myself, President Rashawn, Daryl Hagan, who was in charge of the Catholic diocese schools or the Catholic schools during that time, and Daniela Vidal from Ivy Tech. We were all there together standing at the podium, Chris Petruskevich from the University of Evansville, and we made that announcement as a group. And that was a very, very interesting day. And going back to campus and seeing the wide-eyed looks of employees it's definitely something I'll never forget.
Another big deal, of course, becoming a Division I school. When was that decision made?
Yeah, so we were approached by the OVCU about 3 years ago, and they talked to us about joining the OVC. I guess it was close to four now. President Rashawn and Athletic Director John Mark Hall had that conversation with the commissioner, Beth DeBush, from the OVC. And so that was an interesting conversation, you know, and it started something like you might expect from USI, with the commissioner saying, you all have been on our radar for quite some time. We've been watching your progress. And I had a former commissioner tell me, on your short list of places to watch for in the future, you should have the University of Southern Indiana. So we didn't know that was happening. And at first it was a little bit of, we're not sure if we should or shouldn't. But from that conversation, John Mark Hall, again, the athletic director, and I drove down to Madisonville and met the commissioner and chatted about all the numbers and all the things it would take to
Why
become
Madisonville?
Division I. Halfway between where we were and where she was, home office is in Nashville, basically, for the OVC.
Okay, there you go.
No, and it's okay.
It was a logistics decision.
Yes, it was logistics, and it was a hotel, and it was during COVID, and it was a bit quiet, to be honest with you, and I did pretty well all along.
Kind of under the radar, too.
It was under the radar, except I wore my USI mask at that point from COVID, and so that was my one faux pas. But we spent the afternoon talking and answering questions, and I came back and said, I think it's something financially we could do. And we started that migration, and, you know, almost 3 years later, we're ready to be – we just had a site visit. From them to see if we could go expedited and be effective in fall to start playing at Division I completely. And that's a year earlier than expected.
Was it a controversial decision?
It was in some areas. I think, you know, everyone feared the budget and how much money. And
well, that's why you're the money guy.
I have been.
And you had to see, can we do this?
Yes. And we had to look. There was a fear we were diverting resources for athletics, but we talk about athletics, I want to use the term student athletes. You know, they've always been students, and they're part of our population, and they retain better than even the general group of students. And they're very important to our campus. They bring a lot of culture. It's an entertainment a venue. And so even though that was a concern, we were able to – we created an exploratory committee made up of faculty, staff, student athletes – and we looked at this, and not everyone at the time was on board for it. But I think over the course of time, they've seen the wisdom of this. I'm sure that we still have some folks that are concerned, but, you know, we've led the OVC academically the last couple of years with the number of student athletes. We are strong. We were ready for this move, and the OVC is the perfect league for us. we traveled more in our previous days in Division II. The Great Lakes Valley Conference had Wesleyan had went to a different place. Trying to remember some of the other schools, but they had left the Great Lakes Valley, and so we were driving out to Kansas, spending a lot of time. And so
driving
to Kansas, to Rockhurst and other places. So we lost a lot of our local Northern Kentucky, Bellarmine, all of those schools had, you know, went a different direction. And so we were really one of the more eastern schools in the Great Lakes Valley Conference. And so going to the Ohio Valley actually helped us in travel.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let's talk about the dealings with the legislature. I think, half of your budget comes from the state of Indiana, is that right?
That's correct.
Yeah. Okay. Always budget requests. Do you make frequent trips to the legislature?
I do. And this year, more so than most, our vice president for government affairs, his wife is originally from the east, and they were about to have their second child, so they moved towards her parents. And so unexpectedly, we were lucky to have Holly Sullivan, who was our former state representative and working for a company, and she was there for me, and she was up in India a lot, and her knowledge and connections was very helpful. But I made more trips than usual, and also there's always just a group of budget presentations. We have to present to the Indiana Commission for Higher Education, the Budget Committee of the Senate and House, made up of members from both sides, the House Ways and Means, and the Senate Appropriations. So I made all of those budget presentations.
Mm-hmm.
It's a really important part for us because we get our primary funding, as you said, a little over half from the state and the rest in tuition. So it's a big piece for us. We're not generating some of the Research One dollars that you see at other institutions. And so it's important for us. And that's something David Rice was always really good at, and Byron Wright, our first CFO, and Cindy Brinker.
Of course, it's always important to keep tuition rates affordable. How do you do that?
Sure. We're leaner than most, and so we work really hard to try to keep our costs low. But don't be mistaken when I tell you that. It's still an investment for families. It was an investment for me, working through school and paying for school. So we've not forgotten that, even though we have that balance between trying to keep our employees, receiving some raises that help them to deal with the cost of living, to balancing that with the cost of student fees. But we're lean, and so we've always been very conscious of cost, but quality has to be there, so it's a combination. And I think we've navigated those waters better than most. We're still among the least expensive of the higher education institutions other than the regional publics. We're ahead of those, but Purdue hasn't had tuition increases for several years, and we're still less expensive.
My guest is Steve Bridges. He's the newly appointed president of the University of Southern Indiana, USI, the fifth president and the first member of the alumni to hold that post. Now, you've worn many hats in your campus career, including public safety, and that's always a concern, isn't it?
It is. We have the most important assets of someone on our campus every day, their children. And we really take seriously protecting those children. But not only that, we have the employees that we want to take care of. And so it's always been very important for us to do that. In the past, we did not have an armed police force, and we still don't. We have public safety who does some things for our students that I think is a wonderful blend with what we have now, which is the Vandenberg County Sheriff on our campus with multiple officers. But our public safety, we have EMTs, and just recently we saved an individual who was at a basketball game. He had a heart event, and we were there so quick that the tests that show those events did not even show that the person had a heart event. But we brought that person back, and it was three efforts to do that, and that's not often the case. But we also unlock car doors for people who are 3 hours away that have locked their keys, and we give a gallon of gas. Mm-hmm. We provide rides to our students who work at the library late at night if they want. We do a lot of good things in public safety. We married that with the sheriff's department so we have armed officers, but we didn't want to duplicate services. So we have an agreement that started a few years ago with Sheriff Wedding, has continued with Sheriff Robinson, to where they're on campus all the time. They get to know our students. They know where the buildings are.
We have all that acreage, too, and you have those trails. So you have a lot of area to monitor.
We do, and we have a rave system on our public safety area that allows students, if they choose, to put where they're going and how long it should take them to get to their destination. And so they always have those cell phones in their hands, right? Mm-hmm. And so they're able to do that. We have flock cameras on campus to help monitor. And so I've been really pleased with how that's come together. And long ago, I debated, David, between maybe being a sports journalist, mm-hmm. maybe going into law enforcement, or maybe accounting. And I chose accounting, and I don't know where those three came in.
Interesting trio there.
Thank you.
Now, do you get a chance to regularly meet with students?
I do. And that's been one of the more refreshing elements of this job. I've always been forward-facing with bankers and business people in my CFO-type role. But there was a point where I was bursar, and that's the group that bills and collects the funds. And so I spent a lot of time with students during that era. And now back into the world of being president, I'm getting a chance to spend time with students, and that's just reminded me how much I enjoy doing it. It reminds me of why we do what we do every day. Mm-hmm. And that's been a real blessing, and alums too.
Okay. Of course, you've been at the university your entire working career, aside from Sureway.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So any surprises on day one when you sat in that chair at the president's office?
You know, it was surreal for me when I started on July 20th, when I was started as the interim. That was one point where it felt strange.
Okay. All right.
But then fast forward to April 2nd, when I'm actually announced, and it was a proud day for me. And again, just standing in that role for the 54,000 plus alums is important to me. Mm-hmm. The people I went to school with, the people we were founded for, just like it was for me as a student. But it was different on April the 3rd in a weird sort of way. Mm-hmm. I'm getting to continue what I wanted to do, but it provided some closure to the interim role, but also created a whole new world of new for me.
What's it going to be like when you put on the robes for that first graduation?
Yeah, so I did the commencement in December mm-hmm. As interim.
Yes.
But when I do this, it's going to be a moment of pride for me. It's going to be a moment for me to stand in front of the students who are graduating. And I hope in some way, seeing me as an alum now serving as president provides them some wind under their wings to go forward as graduates. And so I think I can identify with students and the faculty that are there. They were so important and influential in my life. To be in front of them and be a part of that ceremony is just, it's incredible for me.
Mm-hmm. So you're a busy guy, of course. Who keeps you on task at the school?
Well, I have definitely several people, but Carrie Berry and Nita Musich are both key members of my team in the president's office. I'm a doer, and I've had to learn to allow others to help me. Mm-hmm. And they monitor my calendar, and they keep me on task, and they protect me sometimes. They'll schedule lunches when they know that this day it doesn't look like you're even going to get time to eat. So they're really important for me. But then our entire cabinet's important. Mm-hmm. Our provost, Shelley Blunt, Kendra Strupp, vice president for marketing communications, they're always with me along with the rest of the team. But, you know, we immediately establish succession planning. And so it's if I'm not there, it's Provost Blunt. And if she's not there, it's Vice President Strupp, and that's how we operate.
Do you have a hotline at home?
Never quits. I'm always available.
Okay.
And that's okay. That's part of the job. Now, okay. I have folks that are taking care of things for me. I'm not as involved in the public safety events as I used to, mm-hmm. but I do work with human resources, and there's always a few exciting events when you employ a number of people. So I'm always available. That's part of the job,
right.
And it'll continue to be.
Buck stops at your desk.
Definitely. It does.
Now, coming up, what's the future of USI with a new president at the helm? What's on President Steve Bridges' wish list? And the important role of community involvement when you are in such a high-profile job? I'm David James. This is 2 Main Street. We'll be right back with our final segment. Welcome back to 2 Main Street. I'm David James. My guest is the new president of the University of Southern Indiana, Steve Bridges. And Steve, you have worked with all the past presidents, beginning with David Rice. Few university presidents probably can say that. So what did you learn about leadership from Dr. Rice? Let's start with him, and then we'll go down the list.
Sure. Yeah, Dr. Rice, it's his passion. It's working with the community. It's talking to business leaders. It's trying to fill a need for our community. That's probably the thing that stands out most to me about Dr. Rice.
Okay. How about Dr. Ray Hoops?
Yeah, Dr. Hoops, perfect person at the time we needed him. He and I get along well, but I tell you, Dr. Hoops could be tough, and I think we would not have the engineering program today had he not been a person who was willing to fight for that. And so he referred to us as a coiled spring when he came, and I think he was right in many ways, and he helped us to have that coiled spring kind of unfold.
Dr. Linda Bennett.
Yeah, Dr. Bennett hired me in the CFO position, and boy, she has a special place in my heart. She has the ability to be very authentic, to work with donors, to work with the community, and she is wicked smart. And I'm a huge fan of Linda Bennett, and I still talk to her today.
Political scientist, isn't she?
She is, and she loves it. She was very savvy, and like I say, I just can't say enough positive.
Dr. Ron Rochon.
Dr. Rochon, he taught me a lot. He taught me a lot about areas that maybe helped me in growth a bit. We had a lot of deep conversations on tough topics, very different elements of he and I growing up. And so we talked about each of our situations, and I learned a lot from him and some of the challenges maybe that he had in life that I didn't. So that was important. Also, he never met a stranger. I mean, what a smile. He brought a national presence to a lot of what we were doing, and I think that was good at the time that we were in with him. And just really has a good heart and cares about people.
An important role for any university president or school principal is community involvement. The school, of course, is a reflection of the people who live nearby and support the institution. The school has hosted a lot of events for the community. Solar Palooza, the eclipse, solar eclipse, that was a big deal.
It was a big deal, and we brought a lot of people to campus. We talked about public safety, by the way. A lot of efforts went into preparing for that event. And, there were things that were happening with that I'll just stop for a minute and pause on. You know, we canceled surgeries in some areas that weren't critical, right, because there was a fear about being able to take care of people, ambulances. But at USI, we're a small city, and with our EMTs there, we were able to take care of whatever happened, unless it was very dire. And so it was amazing how that community pulled together and how much fun that was and how many people came. That's what we do.
USI recently received a distinction from the Girl Scouts of Southwestern Indiana. You were there for that event. I was too. Tell me about that.
Yeah, long history with Girl Scouts dating back to our first president's spouse, Betty Rice. She was a force in Girl Scouts. And I was asked early in the 90s to get involved in Girl Scouts. And definitely did that, and I'm still involved in it today. So what an honor. Our student population is more female than male. And advancing women, wow, that's something we should be doing. And it was wonderful to be recognized for that. And I'm sure Betty Rice was smiling on us that day.
Also on the board here at WNIN, and I assume you appreciate the role of public media in the tri-state.
Absolutely. The role of public media is critical. A lot of things happening in life, and it's the messages that we're getting are outstanding, and I love the work we do, and segments like this are very interesting as well for people. So keep up the good work.
Well, we're trying. Let's go back to campus now. What are some of the top two or three challenges facing higher education today? I know that's a big topic.
It is. I think there are folks that sometimes question, value and cost, and, I'm a product and my children are products of the value of that. So getting that message out and explaining to people how important this is and, what looks like maybe fast money on the front end, which I had a chance to earn myself, versus, how the body changes and the demands on your body. Education opens the door to so many things that will help you for a lifetime. And so I hope people continue to listen to the message and understand the value of education. Certainly demographics are changing in higher education. And understand that, You know, we need recruitment and retention is going to be really important. Retention's always been important. If people invest money, we want to see them succeed. That doesn't mean you give away a degree. What it means is you support students and you recruit students who are able to be able to navigate higher education and coming out on the other side better than they were when they started.
What's the sales pitch for USI when you go out and talk to groups and everything? What are some of the bullet points?
Yeah, it depends. Overarching would be come to a place that cares, quality education at a reasonable cost, has the types of things that you want. But if you're talking about specific programs, we have 100% pass rate in our nursing program. So if you want nursing, you need to be there. Our online MBA is ranked in the top 25 by lots of different publications. Forbes has us rated as one of the best programs, cost and quality. News and World Report has us ranked in the top 25 there. We are strong in accounting. We are strong in engineering. So it depends on what programs they're talking about. And we have a lot of other programs that are strong as well, but those are some right off the top I'd mention.
What's on the drawing board at USI for maybe the next 5 years?
Certainly want to reconnect the business. I want to strengthen those business connections. And I keep talking to individuals about skilling ahead and not skilling up. So I'd love to work with the business community to find out
what
their
mean?
Needs.
What's that mean?
So having a workforce ready from day one for our employers. Okay. When we're skilling up, it leads me to feel like we're behind. You know, we're having to scramble because we maybe have recruited a business and we need more engineers, and so we're scrambling.
Okay.
But if strategically we could talk about what we're after and have a workforce prepared when those companies come in immediately, or if we know things are changing and we need to change some of the educational aspects, that's important to me. That's why I think our business background and the founding companies that helped us, they needed our skill set here, and we need to be responsive to that and monitoring it. So that's important. I want to raise our visibility regionally. That's important. And, of course, recruiting and increasing our size is important because it's good for the community. One thing I want to start doing, though, David, is bringing back our university home. Dr. Rice and Betty Rice, they entertained a lot, and it kind of pulled back the cover on the university and created that family atmosphere. So my wife and I will be moving into that facility when there's some renovations done, probably in the January.
Tell me about that facility.
So it's, you know, it was
a home.
It's a home, okay. And it was originally purchased and built by donors. And it's, you know, it needs a little bit of work, has a basement and, definite areas. It's a true home, but on the main floor in the basement, we entertained people. We brought legislators in. It has a long driveway to allow for parking. And I think that's going to be critical to be able to pull people back into the USI family. And so Rosemary and I will be looking to entertain. We did a holiday reception last year, right before December break. And people, they enjoyed coming to the university home and seeing that. I think it's a feeling that I didn't realize how important it was until we didn't have it. So we're going to bring that into play, whether it's legislators, whether it's businesses coming to campus, that we can actually entertain, talk to, and maybe have some of these discussions that I mentioned about what their needs are.
So you're going to move from Henderson?
We are. I'll keep my Henderson home.
Okay.
All the presidents have had another home. But Dr. Bennett had moved out of the home when her husband's health was, his mobility was more of an issue. Mm-hmm. And Dr. Rashawn, he did not live in that home. But we're coming back, and we're going to bring it back, and I think it's critical.
What's the relationship with the other universities, University of Evansville and Ivy Tech?
Sure. Well, Daniela Vidal worked for us, and so I definitely know Daniela well.
At Ivy Tech.
Yes. And so she's definitely a person. She worked in our applied engineering group, helping with business and industry. So she's one of those individuals that did that. Chris Petruskevich and I, we've talked numerous times. We've traveled to the State House together on a day at the State House for EREP. We've communicated. We have a partnership, of course, at the Stone Center with both University of Evansville and IU, Indiana University. So, we get along well, and he's involved in the NCAA Division I committees, and we've had a chance to be together at conferences and so on. So, good relationships. Looking forward to working with all of them.
So, when the stress of the day is over, what does Steve Bridges like to do to relax?
Well, family's really important to me, so I enjoy the grandkids. Mm-hmm. You've sort of gathered from my historical perspective, my dad was born in Katy's, Kentucky, I mentioned. So we have a place at Lake Barkley that I sometimes go and boat and jet ski. And that's a great release. Our family gets together and we have good food, good fun. Mm-hmm. That's a real release for me. And then have connections in Southern Illinois with our family farm. So sometimes I'm down there fishing or doing whatever. Outdoors are important to me.
Mm-hmm. Your favorite food at the Westside Fall Festival?
Varsity Club steak sandwich, I would have to go with. But I usually visit and have a sausage burger, and I have a number of things. Last year, I had the dubious honor of being able to go and rate the foods, and I did some scoring of the different entities, and Varsity Club steak fry, it was a 10. But I'm going to add fractional scoring if I do it again this year, because I understand that's important.
And, of course, the university hosts the Madrigal dinner every year, all kinds of major events. Your theater is very important. So tell me about some of the other activities on campus that people might not know much about.
Yeah, so I hope they're seeing our walking trails. That's really wonderful. Open to the public. Love to have them. A lot of people walk those trails, and so I would highly recommend that. In addition, obviously, you did mention our plays. I just went to Pippin the other day, and our student-led productions are fantastic. Our performance center is really a neat building. It has a lot of Indiana native materials in it. The ceiling of that facility is actually, for the noise reduction, is made up of Toyota Sienna minivan dashboards. And a lot of folks don't know that. And so seeing a play in that facility is very intimate, and I would highly recommend it. Of course, all of our athletic events are outstanding. Come see our baseball, softball, too. They're in full force right now.
And you have robots delivering food.
We do. We have Kiwi bots that deliver food to our students. Just you go onto your phone, just like everything else, right? And you enter the app and you order it and make sure you deliver it to the right building, because there is a right building that is in housing, and there's a right administration building that I'm in. So I've seen a few faux pas in ordering where employees are going up to housing because they didn't put administration building. But they're wonderful, and kids love to see them on campus.
Let's talk about the housing. You have, of course, you have commuters, and you have people living on campus. So what's the ratio there?
Yeah, so we're about 2,200 or so in housing of our 92. So not quite a fourth, but close. And that really brings campus alive. You know, in the summers it's a little quieter, but we have resident halls and we have apartments. The apartments were built by SAHI years ago when we weren't allowed to have housing, which is a fantastic story of the business leaders again coming forward. And then we built resident halls in 1999, which are sort of the new term for dormitories, although they're much different. A lot more individualized spaces. And so the combination of those are good. And I think we'll be looking at another resident hall type thing again in the near future.
Well, let's ask you about your wish list. What would you like to, if you can snap your fingers and have something on the drawing board right now?
Yeah, so I think we need a track in our future for athletics. We need that residence hall. I'd like to see us grow in terms of enrollment and retention. We are definitely turning the tide in retention, seeing some good numbers. But I'd like to see more students again. Demographics have worked a little bit against us. And first and foremost, I'd like for USI to be thought of as the first choice among our students here, first choice among the community when they have a problem and they'd like to be able to get someone to help them with it, or first choice among employers to say, I need some help with this skill set and what can you do? Because I think we're nimble and we were founded that way to be the heart of this community, and that's what I'd like us to be. We know that.
My guest has been Steve Bridges, the number one salesperson at USI now, the president, the new president. He is definitely has a lot on his plate right now, and I think you're eager to attack all these issues.
I am.
Congratulations again, Steve.
Thank you. I appreciate your time.
Thanks for being my guest.
It was a pleasure.
I'm David James, and this is 2 Main Street. The University of Southern Indiana was founded in 1965, beginning as a regional campus of Indiana State University at the former Centennial School on Evansville's west side. Construction of the current campus in western Vandenberg County began in 1968. Today, USI offers more than 130 areas of study through the College of Liberal Arts, Romaine College of Business, Kinney College of Nursing and Health Professions, Pott College of Science, Engineering, and Education, and Graduate Studies. The university offers study abroad opportunities in some 60 countries and is an NCAA Division I school in the Ohio Valley Conference with 19 varsity intercollegiate men's and women's sports. USI President Steve Bridges received the Rising Star Award from the National Association of College and Business Officers. The Thanks Badge, the highest honor for an adult volunteer from the Girl Scouts of Southwest Indiana. And the Model of Efficiency Award from University Business Magazine. The Presidential Search Committee looked at more than 100 national candidates, and the USI Board of Trustees voted unanimously to name Steve Bridges as the fifth president of the University of Southern Indiana. 2 Main Street on WNIN airs Thursday at noon and Saturday at 11, and previous shows are on demand at WNIN.org.